The explosion of the local food movement created an equal explosion of independent chef-run restaurants, casual spaces that serve upscale pub food at a price point usually in between the fine dining special occasion sit-down restaurants and fast food takeout joints. It's made it easy for people in cities to get good quality house-made food in a sit-down restaurant any night of the week. But Kevin Alexander says that golden age of restaurants is about to end. His piece in the online magazine Thrillist is called "There's a Massive Restaurant Industry Bubble and It's About to Burst." He joins us. Kevin Alexander, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And we know this is the last piece in a year-long investigative series you've written about the restaurant industry, but stay with this notion that this is a bubble. Make your case.
Basically, what we've seen is sort of the golden age of restaurants, and it's from what I think is 2006 to 2016. And during that golden age, all of these restaurants that you talked about, the ones with the similar aesthetic, the reclaimed wood and the Edison bulbs and the mismatched chairs, that vibe, the fine dining trained chef who wants to take that experience and do something more casual, all of that, that became sort of the signature restaurant of this era. And the good part of that is diners got more informed, local foods, all of that. The bad side of that is the economics on it just don't work anymore. And that's a lot of factors here, but some of the main ones are rising labor costs, rent increases, a huge glut of similar restaurants, a shortage of cooks, and just customers not willing to pay the higher prices. So I think all of that sort of contributed to this bubble. And we're starting to see signs that it's bursting.
Okay. Take the thing that probably just set off ding, ding alarms for a lot of people because it's such a buzz phrase and it's so controversial right now. Rising labor costs. This is the move to pay the people who support the restaurant industry, the people in the back of the house, a living wage. And wages have gone up across the country in different states recently. Are you saying that this noble experiment in paying people to actually do the dirty work of feeding America, are you saying that it's that living wage that's taking the restaurant industry down?
Well, it's not taking the restaurant industry down. It's changing the restaurant industry. And I think it's very important for us to note that this is good. You know, our wage workers are usually the lowest earners, and this increase is essential in ensuring they actually earn a living. But it's nonetheless an additional cost that must be factored in. And a lot of these restaurants don't have those costs factored in. So when you increase these wages, if you're a restaurant that's sort of been struggling to make it and all of a sudden your costs go up 10, 15%, that means the difference between staying open and closing. And so we're seeing with those wage increases, a lot of these places just end up closing.
Well, you point to one restaurant in San Francisco, AQ, where their costs for health benefits went from $14,000 per year to $86,000 per year.
Yeah, over the course of at AQ, the restaurant that I profile in the piece in San Francisco, in 2012 they paid $14,400 for healthcare, and in 2015 they paid $86,000. So you know that's $72,000 more, if my math is correct, than 2012, and that's 29% of their best year's profits would just sort of wiped away from there.
Yeah. Well, look, there's been pushback on this notion. Just last week, Forbes reported that the minimum wage increase in Seattle hasn't resulted in fewer restaurant jobs, that the city's restaurant industry is growing.
Yes.
You're chuckling.
I am chuckling because we are still in the bubble. You know, I wrote this story because I traveled around. I visited 19 cities, and I really saw the effects that it was having, and I talked to chefs. And during these bubbles, you kind of don't know it's over until it's really, really over. Now, let me also say there's another crucial factor here that's sort of propping up the bubble, and it's outside money coming into the restaurant industry. So, you know, during this sort of golden age, being an investor in a restaurant became cool. So there's a lot of sort of false money being, and it's not false money, it's actual money, but it's propping it up in a very false way.
Well, and not just the restaurants, but the competitors to the restaurants. You write about food delivery apps that, you know, they can afford to lose money because they're also sustained by investors and they're taking service away from restaurants.
Yes. And especially the types of places, sort of like Munchery, where they're making the food in-house. You know, some of these places, the restaurants contribute and they're just sort of delivery services or whatever. We want to distinguish between them. But right. For a lot of those places, they're, you know, with the millennial generation, it's an app on your phone and you don't want to deal with going to a restaurant or facing someone and talking to them. You just hit it and you get this food. And you get it at a really cheap price. And if that happens to take 10% of the revenue from a local sit-down restaurant, that's a massive hit and could be the difference between staying open or shutting down.
What else is cutting into restaurants in your view?
Well, I think the biggest issue is really the glut of similarities. And it's just there's too many. And I think the most remarkable statistic that I found during the story was in discussing in San Francisco. In 2011, when AQ opened, there were 3,600 restaurants in San Francisco. And as of now, there are 7,600. Mm. And so you think about, in any industry, you think about that sort of an increase in competition and, you know, trying to pay fair wages and all of that. In 5 years, of course, that there's going to be damage. And basically, the other thing is customers, then they get bored really easily and they're constantly looking for that new thing. And it's just, you know, it's just sort of terrible.
Well, that's the risk, that you could be the hottest thing one day and then you're suddenly not the next. But that's not new. I mean, you know, that's not new in the restaurant world. You're saying what is new is there's just so much competition, as we said, not just from restaurants, but from apps and from food courts.
Yes, that I think is going to be something we're going to see more and more of, is the sort of food hall, the Eataly type European food halls where you can go and get some hot Nashville chicken, or you can get some ramen, or you can get a Kobe beef burger, and they're all from different purveyors, all within a food hall. So it's not the same sort of like 90s mall food court. We're talking like upscale quality food that is all sort of in a food hall style. And I think you're going to see more and more of that because they're sharing the costs.
Mm. You know, you compare this to what's happening in the U.S. economy in general. It's interesting because I'm thinking way, way back. It used to be that there were, you know, really fine dining restaurants that you had to get dressed up to go to. And then there were diners, you know.
Right.
But this new idea, and you know, relatively new idea in the last couple of decades, has been these really cool middle ground restaurants. If these go away, and you're saying that they will when the bubble bursts, you're back with this sort of inequity that matches the inequity that people say they see in the economy in general.
Yeah, I think that that's a fair point. I think that I talk about the hollowing out of the restaurant industry center. And what's been really interesting during this, you know, golden age of restaurants is going out to dinner in your 20s and sort of like groups of guys. I know when I came out of college, which is in 2003, I lived with five guys in Boston, and we would never dream of going to a restaurant as sort of what we did socially, you know, when you're 23. But that has now become a normal, cool thing to do with these cool, casual, fine dining restaurants. So it's strange to think back and that in order to survive, these restaurants will be forced to raise prices in order to pay the fair wages, in order to pay for food costs. But it doesn't mean that we're going to see no more restaurants. I think the real movement will be away from the sit down and more towards the fast casual, towards the counter service. You're still going to have all the trappings of those cool restaurants that you're thinking of right now, but you're going to have to bust your own table.
Hmm. That's Kevin Alexander. His piece in Thrillist is There's a Massive Restaurant Industry Bubble and It's About to Burst. We'll link you to his piece and his whole series on restaurants at hereandnow.org. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you for having me.